I appreciate this passage of scripture. Matter of fact, this verse, how many of y'all testified it is? Verse number 13 here. We've all got it somewhere around our house, or we've got it written in our Bible, or we've got it written in a place where we've had a tough situation. I went through all of high school, a lost kid, and I had it on my locker, on the inside of my locker, my football locker. When you opened it up, right there on the inside of it, there was a verse plastered right there on the back of the locker that said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Boy, we hang to that verse. I need somebody to help me out right now. When you was in school and you had a test that you didn't study for, I need somebody to help me. How many of you went to claiming that verse? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I mean, we treat that verse like it gives us some kind of superhuman power. You know what I mean? We look at that verse and we say, "Man, if I could just, man, I'm telling you, I'm going to claim that verse, preacher. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things." I started to have somebody come up here. I started to get one of my older members to come up here and get them to jump up on stage claiming that verse. I need somebody to help me right here. Because the fact of the matter is, we take that verse and we take it completely out of context, and we take that verse and we try to apply it to our lives and make it something that Paul never intended for it to be to the church of Philippi. The fact of the matter is Paul is saying, if you will, put that verse back up there for us. He's saying, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." It would be even easier for us to understand if we sing that verse like this: "I can do all things in Christ which strengtheneth me." Because that's the fact of the matter. That's how Paul wrote it. The fact of the matter is we're not to go outside of the Word of God. We're not to go outside of Christ and try to attempt the impossible things. We can do all things in Christ, through Christ, which strengtheneth me, or which strengtheneth us. And as we look at this tonight, I was thinking about this thought of getting us in the right perspective. And I'm not going to give you my title yet, because I want to give you an illustration to kind of jump into this thing. And I want to give you an illustration that I hope will be a blessing to you. I'm not going to give it to you right now, but I'm going to in a minute, all right? But anyhow, in this passage of Scripture, this thought that I had and going through this is, how many of us through this month, I've been doing it, been putting something on there about being thankful somewhere on Facebook, or either in your house or doing something like that, talking about being thankful. It's amazing to me, like Brother Jake said, we spend all of our time all year long, and then we get around Thanksgiving and all of a sudden we get focused in on being thankful, when the fact of the matter is we ought to be thankful every day all the way through the year. But we tend to, around November, everybody gets real thankful and we start thanking God for this and thanking God for that and doing these type of things. And then, as Brother Jake said, Thursday night comes down around and all breaks loose. I'll just put it that way. I need somebody to help me right now. I asked my wife, I said, "You going Black Friday shopping?" She said, "I am." I said, "I am too. I'm looking for an 8-point. Somebody say amen. I'm going Black Friday shopping myself, all right? But anyhow, she's real excited about going out there doing her thing, and she's going to go out there. I used to, when I worked at the chemical plant, this was one of our favorite times, because when you work night shift, they started this stuff, you know, they started at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, or whatever. They probably started on Thursday nights now. But back then, they would. We would listen to the radio in our local radio station. They would have people out there that was calling into the radio station telling where all the fights were. It was the best thing in the world. We'd be out there on shift work, and they'd somebody holler over the radio. Hey, they'd holler over the radio, "Hey, get to the radio quick. They're giving another one." You run in there, and they're talking about, man, there was two people that got in there over a TV, and they was throwing down in the middle of Walmart, and and it was just the greatest thing in the world, because we were so thankful the day before. And then we're killing each other that night. Somebody say amen. I mean, fighting over a blue light special, red lights, I don't know what all, but they would get after it. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of times church acts that way, and the Christians do. And I'm not talking about fighting here. What I'm talking about is, we're real thankful, but then we get off track. We're real thankful. We get everything into perspective, and we'll get focused on our thankfulness. And then December comes around, and we got to get all the presents. We got to do all this, and we got to do all that. I have people all the time tell me, I couldn't buy my kids Christmas if it wasn't for Black Friday. You ought to try saving money. I'll leave that right there, and I'm going to walk right up here. But I understand. But we get all upset between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I need somebody to help me right here. All stressed out about everybody we got about, and we get off track. And before you know it, we've done gone 11 months before we come back around in November, and we start thanking God again for everything he's done. Tonight, I want to help us out, and I can't give you the thing yet. This was the coolest thing. I read an illustration, and this thing, man, it helped me, and I prayed it'll help you, and then I'm going to jump off of that, all right? If I give you the title now, then you'll know where I'm going with it, so you got to listen to the illustration. But I read this illustration by J. Vernon McGee, and I'm not giving his illustration. I'm taking it, and I'm making it my own, only because I don't know what he's talking about. But he was talking about a train, this thought of I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, and how you and I have the power through Christ, which strengthens us. He talked about a train. He mentioned the Santa Fe Railroad. I'm not familiar with all that, but I am familiar a little bit with a train. I've rode a train. We had a good time. Matter of fact, we're planning a trip next year to ride on a train. We're excited about that and doing those type of things. But anyhow, that train, they're one of the most powerful pieces of machinery that we have. I mean, if you've ever been next to a train, the entire ground shakes when it comes by. I need somebody to say amen. We get all frustrated with it. We get mad at it because it makes us sit there. But if it wasn't for that train, you wouldn't have half the stuff we have, all right? I mean, the fact of the matter is that train delivered, man, it's capable of doing things that cars and trucks and vans aren't. Matter of fact, that train is capable of carrying very large loads. I'm talking about convoy tanks, military tanks, all kind of things. The cargo on that thing, the weight that thing can pull. And here's the thing. There's nothing that slows it down. I mean, that train will get going. Somebody say amen right here. It don't stop from here to that wall. I remember me and Michelle went and picked up my truck. This was years ago, back in 1995, as a matter of fact. I bought a truck, a little hot rod, and we went and picked it up. And I had to be at work that afternoon, and we were trying to get back from Waycross to Brunswick so I could get to work and not be late. Man, we pulled up there to a railroad crossing, and sure enough, here it comes down. Well, I just zipped right on around it. Come on now, how many of y'all have done that? Here's the problem. That was an Amtrak. Oh, right. Man, we come around there, and I'm telling y'all what, that thing was moving. Y'all hear me? We found out real quick that hot rod would go. Wow, we were through there and gone. But we ain't no match for that train, the power of that train. But do you know something about that train? That train's power is only effective as long as that train is on the track. As powerful as that train is, and as much as it can carry, as much of a load that it can withstand, as much as unstoppable as it is, that train is limited in its power to two rails. And as long as that train is on track, it has all the power in the world that it needs. It can go over mountains. It can cross rivers. It can cross valleys. It can go across canyons. It can go through mountain passes. It can do, with a load on it, it can do all of that. But if that train ever gets off track, all that power is not effective. I need somebody to help me tonight. That was good. Man, I read that thing and I was like, because it had to do with this verse. We have all the power in the world available to us as long as we're on the track. As long as we're on the track. This ain't outside. That verse right there ain't outside the will of God. That verse right there gives us power in the will of God on the track. As long as we're on the track, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But when you and I get off track, then we lose any power that we may have had. We find our, hey, listen, you take that train, it can be going wide open. When it gets off of that track, it is coming to a stop. It can't make a left-hand turn and decide that it's going to go down 41. It can't make her, I need somebody to help me right here. It can't say, ooh, there's a waterfall. Let's go for it. Let's go sightseeing. It is limited in its power to the track. And you and I are limited in our power to that track. And I've got 10 things to keep us on that track. I'm going to give them to you short or quickly, and we're going to go right through it. It's in these verses, all the verses that I read. We're going to start off with verse number 1. Put verse number 1, we're going to go right through it. I'm going to give them to you quickly. First off, we can stay on track as long as we stay faithful. Hey, listen, staying on track means that you and I have to stay faithful. The Bible says in the very first verse, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my love or my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. That means to be unmovable. That means unwavering. That means for you and I to stay on track, we must remain faithful. You know what gets most people off track? Come on, y'all, help me out now tonight. What gets most people off track is an absenteeism from church. The more they miss church, the farther they get away from God. And it don't take very long to derail you if you don't come to church or you don't stay faithful in the house of God. Under the teaching of God's Word, if we are to stay on track, we're going to have to stay faithful. That means we come to church when we don't feel like it. That means we come to church when we get tired. That means that we come to church. Why? Hey, you get up and go to that job to get a paycheck. You ought to get up and come to God's house to get spiritually fed. We got to stay on track. If we're going to stay on track, we got to stay faithful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's what God is looking for. You hear me say this around here a lot of times. God rewards faithfulness, and so do I. Our Bible colleges are set up on that principle. You be faithful, and I'll be faithful. We be faithful, well, God's faithful in it all. But if you'll be faithful to God's house, you'll be faithful to God's teaching in them colleges, then I'll be faithful to pastor. We got to stay faithful. Not only that, number 2, we got to stay forgiving. Verse number two. We got to stay forgiving. The Bible says, I beseech you, Otis, and beseech the S word, S girl. We'll do it that way, all right? That they be of the same mind in the Lord. You know what that means? It implies that them two were having problems. It implies that them two might not have seen eye to eye on something. I need somebody to help me. You know what will get you off track faster than anything? Is an unforgiving spirit. How are we going to stay on track? We got to stay faithful, but number 2, we got to stay forgiving. We got to be willing to forgive those that trespass against us. How about this? We got to be willing to forgive those that don't have the same opinion as us. Oh, before you get all happy about it, that includes your preacher. Oh, I need somebody to say amen. You get real happy about it sitting there when you're thinking about the person next to you, but you get all upset if I don't agree with something you got going on. Stay forgiving. That includes your preacher. If me and you don't see eye to eye on something, as long as it ain't biblical, as long as it ain't doctrine, then have a forgiving spirit. You can tell the ones that don't, they're looking at me weird right now. Oh, I thought that only applied to church people. Yeah, I'm one of them. Stay forgiving. You know what? Man, we get sideways with each other over the dumbest things. Some that don't even matter. We get all upset about it. And the next thing you know, we come to church, we vex the Holy Spirit, we won't even talk to each other, we avoid each other, we're doing all this and wondering why. Well, I just didn't get nothing out of church. Of course you didn't. You're mad at everybody. Somebody say amen. Hey, I'm talking to, and I'm preaching to the choir, all right? Because I'm telling you, this is something that I know I deal with too, all right? The Bible says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you for your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. We better forgive one another. If I'm going to stay on track, I'm going to have to stay faithful. I'm going to have to stay forgiven. Number three, I'm going to have to stay friendly. The Bible says in verse number three, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." We got to stay friendly. I mean, to be that put a smile on your face. It ain't that bad. It ain't that bad. Somebody help me. It ain't that, but say it with me. It ain't that bad. Be friendly. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Do you know what? Say, "Brother Robert, they don't even talk to me." What did you talk to them? Hey, they walked right by me and they didn't shake my hand. Did you stick it out there? Preacher, I walked right by you and you did not speak to me. Did you open your mouth? Look here, I'm not going around looking for something to do. Is everybody all right? Most time I'm running around, I'm focused on doing something. If I don't shake your hand, guess what? Stop me and say, "Hey, good to see you, preacher. I got Lorraine. Lorraine ain't here tonight. I got Lorraine. She done got her a new bow." Oh, yeah, she done got her a new bow. And Sunday night I was standing out there in the foyer and she come walking in. And I'm talking about she come by me. I think she was late and she was doing the care team. And I think she was late and I think that's why she was in a hurry. I hope she's watching on Facebook tonight. But anyhow, she come rushing by me just like that. And I said, "Oh, I see how it is. Get you a boyfriend. All of a sudden you can't talk to the preacher." She said, "Oh, no, you didn't." She come over there and hug me. I said, "Oh, that's better. That's better. I'm just making sure." But how many of you would have got upset? Come on now. How many people have we seen in this church get upset because somebody does that? Listen, be friendly. Show yourself friendly. It's easy to make friends around Calvary Baptist Church. I promise you this. There ain't anybody in here that's so bad I don't want to be friends with. I mean, I'm telling you, we got one of the friendliest churches you can be in. And that's a testament from our visitors that they felt at home as many as they walked in. They loved it here. Why? Because people cared about them. So if you got the feeling that somebody ain't caring about you, then maybe you need to start caring for somebody else. Be friendly. Stay friendly. Stay on track this year. Let's stay faithful. Let's stay forgiving. Let's stay friendly. Number four, let's stay festive. The Bible says in verse number four, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Quit acting like your mother-in-law moved in. Huh? Quit acting like your dog died. Praise God. Come in here with a smile on your face and be happy that you get to go to church. Somebody, hey, they might be somebody avoiding you because you look like you're in the molly grubs every time you come to church. Come in, I need somebody to help me. Come in, sit down. I need. Come in, hug the wall while you're coming in. I promise you, it looks like this for some of y'all. Come walking in, you'll be like. Too close to them. Is everybody all right? The preaching is going on up there, and you get the farthest away you can possibly get and just challenge somebody to come talk to you. Nobody comes talk to me at all. That's because you walk into church like you're a criminal. Is everybody all right? I need somebody to help me right here. It's all right to laugh in church. It's all right to smile. It's all right to act like you enjoy life. Because nobody wants to be around you if you don't. I don't want to go down on that ship with you. I need somebody to say amen. So we need to stay festive. Go to the next verse, verse number five. We need to stay faithful, stay forgiving, stay friendly, stay festive. Number five, stay forbearing. Bible says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." You know what that word moderation means? It means gentleness. It means kindness.
This forbearing means the same thing. Gentleness, kindness. We're to be forbearing to one another. We're to be gentle with one another. When somebody's having a bad day, we're to be gentle with them. Why don't we try to see it from their perspective sometime? While everything's going good in your life and you got a promotion, maybe they just lost their job. How about we see it from their point of view every now and then? How about we be gentle with somebody even though we feel like they didn't treat us like they should have? We live in such a world today where we feel like our opinion matters. I need somebody to help me. Don't get mad at me right here. Facebook has taught us that our opinion matters. It says things like this: what's on your mind? And we think that somebody really cares what's on your mind. I need some of the older folks to help me right here. Life was a lot better before we had Facebook. I don't have to know what's on your mind. Matter of fact, I don't want to know what's on your mind. Matter of fact, I love all of y'all, but half of you or more are hidden on my Facebook page. There's a reason, because I seen too much of what was in your mind. Is everybody all right? Be gentle with one another. Your opinion is just that. It's an opinion. And understand that people are going through difficult times. There's people that walked in here. Listen, there are people that you shake hands with every service. They put a smile on their face and they're battling cancer. If they have a bad day, guess what? They're entitled to it. Let's be gentle with them. Say, well, I don't know who they are. Good. I like it that way. That way you can just be gentle with everybody. And then you don't have to worry about missing the one that you needed to be. So be forbearing. Stay forbearing. If we're going to stay on track, we're going to have to stay. We're going to have to stay in this thought of being faithful and forgiving one another and staying friendly, being festive, staying forbearing, loving one another. Next, stay fearless. Verse number 6, I love this verse. Be careful for nothing. I think it could be just as much translated, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Have confidence. That was a thought that I had when I was reading this verse. Have confidence. God's will is going to be done. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Not just because we stay fearless, understand that God's in control. God's still on the throne. God's still got this thing. Hey, listen, he can still speak, peace be still. He can still tell the waters to calm. He can still tell the lions to hush up and sit over there with their mouths closed. He can still do that in your life. Trust him. Be confident. Be fearless. That don't mean don't. I need somebody to help me right here. That doesn't mean be stupid now. But stay fearless. Be confident. Verse 6 of chapter 1 of Philippians. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Number 7, stay faultless. This is another one that really helped me. Stay faultless. In verse number 8, if you will, in verse number 8, the Bible says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, say it with me, think on these things. Amen. The problem problem in most of us and our faults and failures is stinking thinking. It's stinking thinking. We ain't thinking on the things that we need to be. I need somebody to help me now. Well, you know I'm telling the truth. We ain't thinking on the things that we need to be thinking on. We tend to dwell on things that we have no business dwelling on. The Bible tells us that we're to think on these things. Whatsoever things are true. Bible's true. Whatsoever things are true, God's true. I need somebody to help me. Whatsoever things are honest, God's honest. Not very many people are anymore, but God is. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, those are the things we need to keep in our mind. I have people ask me all the time, preacher, how do you get over bitterness? How do you get over this thought? And when you're constantly waking up, you see their face and you're talking to them and you're doing this, you got to think pure things. You got to replace stinking thinking with those things. And if we can ever train ourselves, don't get mad at me right here. Y'all looking at me like this is impossible to do. If we can ever train ourselves to think the right way, our lives, come on now, our walk with Christ will get stronger. We get closer, and our lives will be a whole lot better off for it if we learn how to think. Stay faultless. Number eight, stay flexible. Verse number 9, the Bible says, these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That word do right there, it probably could be translated practice. In other words, what Paul was saying is things that you've seen me done, practice those things. Do those things. Stay pliable. This was the thought, stay inflexible, stay pliable. Don't get to a place in your life, how many of y'all have ever heard this phrase, can't teach an old dog new tricks? You know what? I found that you can't teach a lot of Christians new things either. They've been raised in something and been taught something their entire life, and it's unbiblical. And yet they'll stand fast on that, and they'll walk away from truths in the Bible. I'm going to need somebody to help me. I seen something today. Scott, you'll appreciate this, man. I seen something today, and a guy said, the pilgrims didn't decorate for Christmas before Thanksgiving, so I won't. And he put a hashtag, old pass. I said, yeah, and they didn't tweet about it either. Honest before the Lord, that's what I told him. I said, they didn't tweet about it either. Hey, if you're going to stand on something, you better be careful it ain't. I need somebody to help me. You're going to stand on something, you better be careful it ain't going to fall out from under you. Talking about old past. He's a preacher. He's a preacher, and he's all about that old time way. And that's fine. But don't sit there and throw something like that. Man, that was a slow pitch. I hit that thing so far over the fence. Said he didn't tweet about it either. You gonna gripe about the new way things are done in church? Somebody help me right here. Put your phone up. Don't drive to church. Walk. Old pass. I need somebody to help me. Hey, I bet the pilgrims didn't put hair gel in either, and you do. Hey, stay flexible. Stay flexible. Stay teachable. The problem with so many of us is we're not teachable. We're set in our ways. Hey, my stepdad, he is a perfectionist. And any time that we get together and work, I have learned there is no sense in me trying to do it my way. Okay? When he asked me, he set me up, Brother Kenny, when he says, how you think we ought to do this? Oh, no, I'm not falling for that. What do you want to do? We're going to do it the way you want to do it. I promise you. Now, if he leaves, Brother Kenny, I can get it done in no time. I promise you. But he's setting his ways. And I'm telling you what, he is going to go around this way to get to something that I can just. I'll never forget, we was out there building his shop. And man, he was giving us a fit. And I walked in, I told Mama, I said, call Daddy in the house for a little bit. I hope he ain't watching. Me and my brother-in-law was out there. Mama called Daddy in the house. And before he got back up there, we had all four walls up on that building. Y'all hear me? I'm talking about we was moving. But Daddy done got to a place. Listen now, my dad's a great guy. But he's a perfectionist, and it's got to be done this, this, and this, and he won't hear no other way to do it. And that's all right. That's all right. I ain't got no problem with that. I'll do it just like he tells me to. But here's the thing. When we have that mindset in Christianity, then all of a sudden we limit ourselves. Stay teachable. There's still some things God wants to do in your life. There's still some things that need to be out of your life. No matter how great you think you are and how perfect you think you are, there's still things in your life that God needs to get out. And so stay teachable, stay pliable, stay flexible, I think is what I called it, all right? And number nine, stay fruitful. This is a wonderful thing. Verse number 10, the Bible said, y'all ain't going to like it, but I did. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. This was concerning their giving. So I wrote, be fruitful. You know what? To give to somebody is one of the great, come on now, I need somebody to help me. You taught your kids it's better to give than receive. But it didn't apply to the church. I need somebody to say amen. We teach our children it's better to give than to receive. But when it comes to things of God, them $5 bills turned into $1 bills. Y'all got quiet. Y'all ain't supposed to get quiet. This is a crowd that tithes, all right? Y'all supposed to say, amen, preacher, praise God, hallelujah. We get off track. You get off track when all your money's going where God ain't. Go take a look at your checkbook. Never mind. I won't open that can of worms. See where your priorities are. See where your priorities are. Because there's so many of us that get our focus and priorities is on everything else but on godly things. Oh, I give God my time. That's great. But God said the tithe is his. I'll just leave it at that. No, I won't. I can't. Facebook has done turned into, I was saying this today, it's done turned into telemarketing. I got a GoFundMe request today. He sent me a GoFundMe earlier, Sheldon. He wanted a dog for his mama, wife. You don't know. You know the guy. Don't even act like you don't. It was her last wish. So somebody bought her a dog. They got the GoFundMe account, got the money up for the dog. Guess what the GoFundMe account today was? Now that we got the dog, there's certain expenses that we're not able to pay. If I'm lying, I'm dying. They set up a GoFundMe account to buy dog food for the dog. They needed a dog, wanted a dog, but can't take care. I need somebody to help me. Listen, Sean, I unfriended. I told him, I said, I'm done. I can't handle this no more. I preached at the church, and they were at the church, and that's how we become friends. I'm an unfriend. I'm done. I'm through. It's enough. I've had enough. And I'm thinking, here's the thing. A lot of these things people are begging for money for and everything else, they don't give nothing to the church. And I ain't saying that I ain't never going to have a need for a GoFundMe account. I've been trying to figure out something. I won't lie to y'all. I want something like that woman had when she come against Brett Kavanaugh that she had over like $1 million. I got to come up with a good one, but I'm coming up with something. But a lot of our financial needs, come on now, that gets us off track. Y'all, I know I'm telling the truth because I've seen it in my own life. The money will get us off track quicker than anything else. And most of the time, the way money gets us off track is we start allocating it to places it don't need to be, and we leave out what was God's to begin with, and we get ourselves in trouble. I'm going to leave. Verse number 10, or excuse me, verse number 11 for number 10, and we're done. If we're going to stay on track, we got to stay faithful. We got to stay forgiving. We got to stay friendly. We got to stay festive. We've got to stay forbearing. We've got to stay fearless. We've got to stay faultless. We've got to stay flexible. We've got to stay fruitful. And lastly, we've got to stay fulfilled. Verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. It's not natural to be content. That's why Belk's is having a sale on Thursday night, 25% off all sweaters because they know that you're not content with what you have. That's why Black Friday is one of the biggest sales, the biggest sale day of all the entire year. The day after we thank God for everything that He's given us, we beat somebody up to get something that we feel like we should have. We've not learned to be content. And you know what I found? It's a lot easier to be content when you don't have anything. I want you to think about it with me. It's a lot easier to be content when you don't have anything because it's beyond your reach. And so you recognize it and you just are thankful in what you have. The problem in contentment with most is when they're capable. Is everybody all right? It's when they're capable because then they feel like they have to have it since they can afford to have it. Go to the next verse, if you will. Verse number 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul learned how to be content when he had nothing. And he learned how to be content when he had it all. That covers, everybody all right? Let's apply it, and I'm done. Say, well, I don't get where this is going. How's this going to keep us on track? Those people that take another job, more responsibilities, to chase after something that they do not need. Takes them farther away from church, out of ministries, takes them away from what God's trying to do in their life. Why? Because they want something that they really don't need. Let's talk about it for a minute. We won't talk about it for a minute. I'm just going to mention it. You could go through my house right now. You could empty my house out of things that I do not need. Now, while you're thanking God, I want you to thank God tomorrow. I want you to thank God Thursday. But I also want you to realize that most of the things that God gives us, allows you, the things that you're thanking God for, you don't need them.
That's right. Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. We ought to fall down on our face tonight and thank God that He gives us our needs and beyond. Let's stay on track. Let's stay on track. Thursday's going to be here and gone before you know it. Friday, if we're not careful, Friday to the end of the year, we're going to be in a mad rush. We're going to forget all about the thankfulness. And before you know it, it'll be November again. Let's stay on track. Did everybody write all them down? All right. That way you know I won't preach another sermon on it. All right. But 10 truths to keep us on track and keep the power of God working in our lives. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Lord, sure are thankful. God, You've been far better to us than we've been to You. You've been more faithful to us than we've been to You. God, You've gone beyond our needs, and Lord, You've provided our wants. God, You've been good to us, giving us youngins, giving us children that are healthy. Giving us a home, a roof up above us, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, friends in our life. God, I want to stay on track. Lord, there's nothing more I want to see than our church stay on track. Lord, to harness, to get hooked up with your power in our life, because we're on track in your will, following your directives. Lord, I pray tonight that you find some of us faithful. God, if any of these 10 truths, Lord, are missing in our lives, God, I pray right now, Lord, that we'll commit this year to staying on track. Tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. And God's power comes from being on track. Being on track comes through being in Christ. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that say, "Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die." Anybody like that tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed? Won't you just do me a favor and raise your hand? Just raise your hand right up where you're at. "Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die." Lord, thank you. Thank you for a wonderful night. Thank you for wonderful people, wonderful worship. God, I pray you bless the remainder of our service. Lord, we'll be sure to give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Help us, Jesse.